Welcome to Faith Out Loud Canada, sharing the Christ who cares together through practical Bible teachings. This is your host, Dan Purdy, connecting you with the pastoral staff and leadership team of Church in the Valley in Langley, British Columbia. Over the next 30 minutes, listen as inspirational speakers apply key Bible passages, parables, and stories to your modern life. Learn to enjoy God's never-ending love for you and to daily accept His greatest gifts. This brief time together will fill you with hope and confidence while teaching you to live your faith out loud. Today's presentation is entitled The Science of Self-Discipline, focused on Daniel 6, 1-3. Join us now as lead pastor Dr. David Jamieson begins sharing the Christ who cares together through Faith Out Loud Canada.
And Lord, we just pray that as we open your word once again, that your Holy Spirit would come and touch our hearts and lives, that the words that are spoken would be words that you would have spoken at just this time for people who are sitting here, for me as a pastor, that, Lord, our lives would be changed, that we would continue to grow and mature in you in every way. And so bless us to this end, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last few weeks now, we've been talking about Eden's endangered species. We've talked about the fact that when God created this world, He created it a very beautiful place. And when He created this planet, He created millions of species of animals and plants of every variety, shape, size, and color that you could possibly imagine. But since the time of creation, we know that as we look around at our world today, that there are many plants and animals that God has created that are disappearing from our planet at a phenomenal rate, that they are facing extinction and are classified as endangered. In our series, I have suggested to you, though, that the plants and animals are not the only endangered species from Eden. That as God looks down on this planet, as He looks at human beings, He has noticed that the very wonderful character qualities and noble traits and virtues that He has instilled in men and women and boys and girls are also disappearing at an alarming rate today and facing extinction. That we have many endangered character qualities in our world today. Last time we talked about the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and how he erected this golden image on the plain of Dura, and how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided that they weren't going to bow, they weren't going to bend, and they weren't going to burn either. You remember the story as to how they stood before the king. They said, "King, we are not going to bow down to your image because we have a God who is able to deliver us. And if He is not going to choose to deliver us, we will still not bow down because we want to be faithful to Him in every respect." And Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace. And you remember the story as a little while later he was seated on his throne and he rose from the throne and he saw four men. And he said to his servants, "Didn't we throw three into the furnace? How come there are four? There's a problem here, a mathematical problem I am noticing." And he says, "The fourth one looks like the Son of God." And you remember the story how he called them out of the fiery furnace and they came out and the only thing that had burned were the ropes, the fetters that were tying them when they were thrown in. Their hair was not singed, their clothes did not smell burnt, there was no hurt on them of any kind because their God had been faithful to them. We ask the question, how to have faith in the fire living in modern days such as these? There are a lot of things that can happen. Life can change in a second, in a flash. Our lives can be totally different from what they were a moment before. We have to have faith in the fire. How do we develop that kind of faith in the fire? Number one, we need to have a daily relationship with our God. just like Daniel did, and just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. We need to daily respond to God's love. We need to daily rely on the promises of God. We need to daily refuse to dishonor God, and we need to be daily rewarded for the faithfulness that we demonstrate in our God, because God always keeps His promises. Every sermon so far in this series, we've used this quote. Notice what it says. Jesus Christ, the only person who has ever consistently excelled in every character quality we could name, offers to develop His character in us so that we might live abundantly happy lives now and in eternity. So far in our series, we've talked about the endangered character quality of wisdom. We've talked about the endangered character quality of integrity. We've talked about the endangered character quality of faith. Well, this morning I'd like for you to come with me as we look at another old and familiar story found in the Scriptures that speaks of another rare and endangered character quality. I'd like for you to come with me as we go back 2.5 millennium in time, some 600 years before the time of Christ, to the year 606 B.C., reading now in Daniel chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1. It says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." The last thing that Daniel remembered seeing were the flames that were burning all around Jerusalem as he marched out of his city. And now, as the golden sun was brilliantly shining down upon his head, and he was entering the beautiful gates of Babylon with its walls of over 6 feet thickness, he began to realize that he would most likely never see his family or his homeland again. As he thought about his life, he thought about how it had changed in just a moment. How all the luxury and the privilege that he had once enjoyed had now come to an abrupt end. You know, for the most promising of young people, when they would experience this kind of a tragedy, it would mark the end of their experience. Ordinarily, that's what happens to most people. But these were not ordinary times, and Daniel was not an ordinary person. Because in spite of being taken captive into Babylon, for some reason, Daniel experienced phenomenal success. And his success was displayed to the highest of the heavens. Even God took note of Daniel, because later in his life, when he was much older, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and spoke these words. When Daniel was praying, the angel came and said, "As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I am come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed." And reading a little earlier in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, these are the words that were spoken of Daniel. "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." I'd like to ask you this morning, why is it that God and the king and others held Daniel in such high esteem? Was it because of his faith? Was it because of his courage? Or was there something else about Daniel that we need to talk about this morning? Was there another rare and endangered character quality that he possessed that we all definitely need to have in our lives today? I'd like to suggest to you this morning that indeed there is. That Daniel possessed the rare and endangered character quality of self-discipline. Self-discipline is one of the most important qualities that a person can have. Self-discipline is a key to growing and maturing in every other aspect. Self-discipline is a quality that most people desire to have, but that they do not know how to develop in their lives. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you can think of five individuals that you know who live disciplined lives? Can you think of five? How many of you can think of two? I saw a little hand go up. As I'm asking you this question this morning, is there anyone who comes to your mind who lives a highly disciplined life? How about this? Are you living a disciplined life? Are you and I living disciplined lives to God's glory? People admire the quality of discipline when they see it in athletes, when they see it in people who accomplish great feats, and they do want to have it for themselves. They really do. But most people today do not know how to develop this discipline into their lives. But I'd like to suggest to you this morning that if we follow Daniel's example, that we will develop a character in our lives that is such that God will look down at us and say that we too are highly esteemed in His eyes. And if we develop that kind of character, which includes the rare and endangered character quality of self-discipline, then we will meet the challenges and the lions of modern day life successfully. But what is self-discipline? What is this rare and endangered character quality that doesn't seem so glamorous? When people think of self-discipline, they think of, oh no, grueling torture. They think of hard. But what is self-discipline? A few definitions for you this morning. Self-discipline is training that produces self-control. Self-discipline is the art of denying yourself and controlling your impulses. I like this one. Self-discipline is the correction or the regulation of oneself for improvement. Do you like that? The correction or regulation of oneself for improvement. It is the ability to be strategic, consistent, and persevering in achieving the goals you want. And finally, I really like this one. It is the backbone of a happy and healthy life. That's what self-discipline is. What does the Bible say about self-discipline? It says in the book of Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Reading in the book of Hebrews, it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." The scriptures couldn't be more accurate, could they? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Wow. Notice what Theodore Roosevelt said. He said this. He said, "The one quality which sets one man apart from another, the key which lifts one to every aspiration while others are caught up in the mire of mediocrity, is not talent, it is not formal education, nor is it intellectual brightness. It is self-discipline. With self-discipline, all things are possible. Without it, even the simplest goal can seem like the impossible dream." It is the one quality that marks a person above many others, the rare and endangered character quality of self-discipline. But how did Daniel go about developing self-discipline into his life? What was his strategy? What is the science of self-discipline? How can you and I obtain this rare and endangered character quality in our lives that we know is endangered today? And we know that we definitely need. Why, I don't mind saying to you this morning, if there is one quality that I would love to have more of, it is self-discipline. Can you say amen? Is that for me or is that for you? The science of self-discipline. The very first step to developing self-discipline into your life is to determine how you want to live. Notice Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the wine which he drank." Daniel purposed in his heart. The word that is used there in the Hebrew, purposed, means he determined in his heart, in his mind. He made up his mind that he was going to identify himself with his God and with his people, even though he was living in a foreign land. Daniel determined how it was that he was going to live, even though he wasn't at home. Daniel had a strong purpose that guided his life and his existence. Daniel had decided what he wanted to be, who he was, and what he was going to become. He purposed in his heart how he was going to live. Can you picture this young man? A teenager being taken into Babylon, a powerful world empire at the helm. And this emperor and this empire had one purpose for Daniel. The one purpose that they had in mind for Daniel was to change his name. And by the way, Daniel means God is my judge. They were going to change it to Belteshazzar. They were going to change the way he dressed. They were going to change the way he spoke. They were going to teach him the three languages of Babylon. They were going to change the way that he ate. They were going to change the way that he thought. They were going to change the way that he worshipped. They were going to reprogram him, and they attempted to make him a Babylonian. That was the purpose of the emperor. But Daniel's purpose was to live a godly life even amidst an ungodly world. Daniel purposed in his heart how he was going to live. The story is told of the Secretary of State of the United States, George Shultz, under the administration of Ronald Reagan in the 1990s. George Shultz was responsible for all of the ambassadors of the United States. And he had a little game that he would play with people. When the ambassadors would come in for their first interview, or when they were coming home from their service in a foreign country, he would have a conversation with them. And towards the end of the conversation, he would point them to a huge globe that he had in his office. And he said, "I want you to go over to that globe and put your finger on your country." And most of the people went over to the globe, and not thinking about it, if they were the ambassador to Brazil, they would put their finger on Brazil or wherever it was that they were going to serve or had just served. But there was one man by the name of Mike Mansfield who, when asked that question, went over to the globe and he spun it around in the office a few times. And when it came to the United States of America, he put his finger on the United States of America, even though he was the ambassador to Japan. You see, Mike Mansfield understood that even though he was living in a foreign country, he was a representative of the United States of America. And you and I need to realize this morning, and we need never to forget, that we are living in a foreign land, that us, like the patriarchs of old, we need to remember that we are representing the God who created us, the great God of the universe, that we are representing Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have to determine the first step to our self-discipline as being to determine how we are going to live, where we are going to live, and who we are going to live for. It is the first secret to developing self-discipline into our lives. The second step to the science of self-discipline is to decide to master yourself. Decide to master yourself. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile" who? Himself. You know, there were a lot of things that he could have worried about in Babylon. There are a lot of things that you and I can be concerned about in our world, but the primary thing, the primary person that you or I should be concerned about is ourselves. Daniel chose that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Now this is phenomenal. Picture yourself again. Go back in time to when you were a teenager. Picture yourself going into Babylon. You're frightened to death. You don't know what's going to happen. They're dressing you. They're changing you. They're doing all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the servant says, and by the way, you're going to eat exactly what the king gets to eat. We are? Yeah, you're going to have a buffet morning, noon, and night. You are going to eat the royal food of Babylon. Anything that you possibly want and can imagine is going to be on that table. And you can have it all. Many young people, many adults would say, wow, this is just what I've been waiting for. And they would do what? Two words, dig in. But Daniel didn't mind being different. Youthful Daniel looked at this spread and he said, no thanks. He said no thanks for two reasons. Three. We'll have a joke on the third one. Number one, he realized as he looked at that, been most likely sacrificed to idols, to the Babylonian god Bel or Marduk. By partaking of this food, he would be worshiping the Babylonian gods. The second reason was that much of the food on the table was unclean food. He remembered the laws of his God in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus. And he said, I cannot eat any unclean food. And the joke part, and this is serious too, it wasn't a chip diet. You know the story? How there was a VeggieTale twist thrown into it. Daniel looked at all the food. He said, no, thank you. I can't eat it. And he did it politely. And he even suggested the alternative diet. And he said, give me pulse and water, vegetables and water to drink. Test us in this for 10 days and see what happens. They were reluctant to do so at first, but they went through the test. And you know the story as to how it all turned out for Daniel. You know that he and his friends passed the test. Daniel had decided to make some advanced decisions. First, he visualized in his mind how he was going to live, where he was going to live, and who he was going to live for. And secondly, he had made some advanced decisions already that when tempted with the things that he would come against in Babylon, that he had a plan as to how he was going to practice self-discipline in his life.
steeples out of stone. Fill books with explanations of the way. But if we'd stop and listen and break a little bread, we would hear the Master say,
Join us next time for the exciting conclusion to this presentation by Lead Pastor Dr. David Jameson. We certainly hope that today's message demonstrated God's powerful love for you and encouraged you to seek a deeper relationship with Him. Perhaps you are struggling with something in your life with which you need help. It could be your finances, your job, a relationship. Perhaps it's an addiction or something else that you're concerned about. Don't miss the opportunity to call on Jesus to help you. The pastoral staff and leadership team at Church in the Valley can help you have a dynamic, personal relationship with God and show you how to be of service to others in your community. Check out our free online resources at churchinthevalley.ca. Our popular audio and video archives are only a click away. This is your host, Dan Purdy, thanking you for sharing the Christ Who Cares Together with us. Until next time, share your faith out loud, Canada.